Are you ready to rock your life? Then welcome to the Spotlight with Emily Zuby Show. Emily is the founder and CEO of Miami Women Who Rock, a network of amazing, inspirational women and business leaders. As producers of the Rockstar Awards, these local celebrities are acknowledged with the famous Jackie Grand Mosaic's Artist Inspired Award and share their stories. From setbacks to comebacks and the secret sauce of success, these Rockstar Award recipients talk business, philanthropy, and a little bit of their motivational magic. Now, here is your host, Emily Zuby.
Hello, Rockstars. Welcome to Spotlight with Emily Zuby. Today, we have the amazing Chari Ricotoro. Chari is an artist, philanthropist, founder and executive director of the INTI Foundation. She is part of our founder circle and also one of our Rockstar Award honorees. She is incredible, and you're going to get to hear a little bit more and get to know Chari Ricotoro. Chari, I'm so happy to be here.
Emily, I'm so glad you're in my house, and I'm happy, and thank you for being in the spotlight and inviting me.
So tell me, one thing I always like to start with is I believe that all of us as women have icons and role models that really form and shape us. Who would that be for you?
I would say my mommy, but no, that's not it. Yes, it is mommy. But I think growing up, I had a nickname in the house, and it was La Thatcher, because I'm Latin, so they were La Thatcher, because of Margaret Thatcher, first prime minister. And because I was very, you know, strict and follow rules. But then one of my, back then in the 90s, was Mother Teresa of Calcutta, where she did a great labor with the kids and loving and just so generous soul. So I think at one point in my mid-20s, I became this, you know, salt and pepper and put it everything together and pretty much, you know, made what I am. Those are my figures.
So tell us a little bit of your story, how you came about to start INTI Foundation, because it's a beautiful name and it has a whole story behind it and includes a lot of your passions.
When I'm a journalist, that's what I studied, but when I was pregnant with my first son, Christopher, I decided to stop working and stay home, be a stay-home mom, which is the hardest jobs, I think. Of course, when you have children, that's all you do. You take care of them 18 hours of the 24 or more. And I had a few hours during the day, but I had to stay home. So I started painting. I loved painting since I can remember. Early memories of being 3 or 4 years old and grabbing my mom's, you know, lipsticks and painting all over the walls. Back then, there was no washable Crayolas. But I started painting. The paintings were on the wall, and people started buying my paintings. And I said, okay, wow, what a blessing. I can sell my paintings. Now what do I do with the money that's coming in? And thank God I have a very, very comfortable life and not too much need. And I decided to give it away. And where am I going to give it away? For charity. And I decided to make my own small charity for Bolivian children. Because at that point, I had two already. My son was 4 or 5, and my daughter was 2. And I said, okay, let's give back to community. And because I had the children, I made INTI. INTI it came to my, in a dream, because INTI is a Quechua word, a native word, and that means son. But phonetically, son is like a baby, like S-O-N, like son. So the kids are the sunshine in my life. And it all came, I swear to God, it came in a dream because I couldn't find a word to or a name to put the foundation. And that's how it came, and now we're 14 years, and we went from, you know, maybe $10,000 a year to, I think the biggest year was 4 ago, like 2014. No, wow, 2016, which we probably got 80 or almost 90,000. And all that went to build orphanages. And 2 years ago, we did like a small dome in the oncology and pediatrics. So, you know, it's growing.
And what about the flight? Wasn't there a flight to give medical care?
We do have, we partner. So we partnered with Orbis, which is an international foundation for blindness, to prevent blindness. And that has been in the U.S. for the last 50 or 60 years. And what they do is they have the fly-in eye hospital that goes to different countries and maybe, you know, does 300, 400 free of charge surgeries for the people who can't afford it. 3 years ago, we decided to bring the airplane to Bolivia. We started the paperwork, and it's going to happen eventually, but we have political and government situations that prevented the flight from going. It was supposed to arrive 2020, which is last year, and exactly that 2020 for eyesight. So I thought it was like, wow, this is a God-sent message. But God had other plans for us with COVID, so hopefully it's going to be, you know, 2022. So be it.
Wonderful, wonderful. It's exciting. All right, so you know I'm fascinated with your Miss Universe and Miss Bolivia, and I've watched it so many times.
It's been so long, I forgot about it.
Not that long. But just tell me, like, what was the biggest, like, lessons that you learned from that experience?
None, because an a lesson and experience is where you can use it again, but it was a one-time thing, a one-time show. I have good memories. Uh-huh. I do keep in touch with some of the girls, actually two or three live in Florida. Uh-huh. And it's nice just to know they have grown kids now and they all professional.
You talked about world peace. So
I didn't talk about world peace. I talked about being, I wanted to be Minister of Education. That's what I said. I wanted to be Minister. And you know what? I still have not given that dream up because you never know, my kids can be 25. And I can probably go back to Bolivia, not as a minister, but maybe as, you know, counseling or in the government. I would like not education, but probably tourism. You know, I've been all over the world. I love my country. I've done my country north and south, east to west. So I think I could promote it very well. They just need to give me the job. Free of salary, and I'll do it for free. Yeah, you, Bolivian government.
But yeah. So let's talk a little bit about your philosophy.
Okay, so going back to your question, what did I learn or what did I get from the Miss Universe contest is that there are good people in the world, but there are also very jealous people, and not always the woman sitting next to you is your friend. They would cut my dresses, stayed with makeup. Oh, yeah, they would steal my shoes.
No.
Yeah, you know who I'm talking about. And then you know, if you want to, you know, smile for like 3 hours or during an interview for like, uh-huh. for now, so you put a little Vaseline in your lips and in your teeth,
oh,
and that'll
you
keep
go.
You smiling.
You
see,
go.
Those are good tips, but that's it.
So it's interesting that you say that you share that story about the competitiveness, because we always say at Miami Women of Rock that we want to collaborate, not compete. And we work with a lot of other women's organizations. And what I love about our founder circle is that we have so many like-minded women that with really good values and very empowering. And I think empowering women. You know, I know, like, I call you and, you know, from the first moment that I called you when you were selected as one of our honorees, the first thing out of your mouth was, what can I do for you? You know, here are the people I know. Can I help you with the health and wellness and speakers and
whatever you need?
It's beautiful. But that sense of collaborativeness and that sense of, you know, companionship is really beautiful.
And I do have to thank Anita Milton, which she was the one who nominated me, because when she called me, said, "We'd like to nominate you for Women Who Rock." And I said, "Why? I'm just a stay-at-home mom." And she says, "No, are you kidding me?" And sometimes women tend to do that. We underestimate what we do on a daily basis. And then she says, "Yes, but you're an artist and you have you raised your kids by yourself pretty much." Robert travels a lot. And you have a degree and you were a journalist and it's, you know, your choice and you have that foundation. And you say, "You know what? You're right. I am a woman who rocks." So that's why, you know, I said, "Yes." But at the beginning it was like, "Why? What have I done?" And you don't have to, you know, be a CEO of a bank, you know, but yes, in different ways, we rock.
Absolutely. Talk a little bit about MCI, because you do some really great work as a board member, and, you know, I got to go to the gala thanks to you. Tell us a little bit about that.
We got involved with Baptist and the Miami Cancer Institute when my mother got breast cancer a couple of years ago, 5 or 6 years ago. And the service and the care, it was amazing. And we were just in awe. So as a way of giving back and being thankful for her health, we decided to join the founders in that moment. It was called Founder Society. But now I sit on the board for the last 3 years of the Miami Cancer Institute, and happy. There's a lot of cancer in my family, Emily, like maybe 6 people out of 10. We're having a dinner and we're like, oh, you had cancer, you have. And it's become like a not a joke, because it's not a joke, but it's an illness that you need to confront and talk about it. Some people don't want to talk about it and they hide it. And you know, you just gotta say, you know, the more you talk about it, you can do something about it. And research and, you know, new technologies coming up. I mean, every 6 months you have something new. So thank God for that.
It's wonderful. And you host the Wellness Wednesdays, which, you know, we've had some great speakers and love doing that. So I'm going to switch gears, because I'm surrounded right now about this most amazing art. And you really are quite an accomplished artist. What's been your influence?
Getting bored. I get bored very easily. That's why you'll see some of the older paintings, like the one behind us, is it looks like a stained glass, and that's because early memories. I would used to go to church every Sunday. And I was 9 years old. I used to yawn and fall asleep, but I would entertain myself looking at the stained glass and the sun coming through. So that's the inspiration for that type of painting. But then I have, you know, the other ones that are black and white photography, and I put a little bling and glitter on it. So that's totally different, because that's photography. Or maybe I'll do mixed media, you know, like paper mache and seashells. So I think my motivation is I get bored. I like to work a lot with my hands. During COVID, I started taking YouTube classes on how to do stitching and embroidery. And it's not easy. I'm just embroidery is tough, and I pinch my fingers. But I did it, you know? So anything that has to do with manual labor in arts and crafts department, and the style, it just comes, you know, it just comes.
So you mentioned as a kid, so I'm curious, what did you want to be when you grew up? What was that first memory of, you know, your big dream?
I wanted to be an artist. I wanted to go to Barcelona, because I have family in southern Spain, and that's one of the best art schools. But my father, being very military and old school, he's like, no, being an artist, a musician, that's a hobby. Yeah, you can do some art, but that's a hobby, so you need a career. So that's why I, you know, went into communications and got my degree in journalism. But at one point when I was growing up, I would see myself just painting like Picasso, just painting and making a mess in my studio. So eventually, you know, I did it. I think, my dad once said, if I would have known the potential you had, I should have sent you, like, don't feel guilty. You know, God has his ways, and there we go. And now I'm even making money out of my paintings and my art. So.
And you are, never know. They are quite Picasso-esque.
It's a little bit of everything.
Yeah. So talk to me about family. You know, I know you, and, you know, on any given day, you are running around and, you know, you've got your kids in school and your
and their activities.
You have a lot of your family.
And their activities. Well, yeah, we're 7 brothers and sisters. Some of them are still in Bolivia. Others are here in Mexico.
And you all
so
get
we
along,
decide,
right?
not all the time. Okay. Not all the time. We get along, but not all the time. So we will make, you know, like 3 will get together against the other 4. And it's a family dynamics. So we try to get together twice a year, obviously not in the last 3 years. But we get along. I mean, the older sibling, she passed away, but she was 52. And the younger one is 31, 32. So there's a big difference. So you have all the ages, and I'm the tomato in the sandwich. I'm in the middle. I'm the tomato in the sandwich.
I love that.
So, and then, you know, when I had my kids, I had them at a later age, and I could only have 2. otherwise I would have loved to have, you know, 4 or 5 kids. Marila is a good example. I would have loved to have more kids. Yeah. I love children. But then, you know, I have that foundation, and my babies are, you know, the oncology pediatrics patients or the school, the soccer school in Bolivia. Those are my babies.
That's wonderful. Yeah. Okay, well, we have a rock star rapid fire round. And the way it's going to work is our listeners are going to get to know you a little bit better. So if you're just joining us, I am sitting here with Charirico Toro. And we're going to go into our rapid fire. Yes, quick answers. The first thing that comes to mind.
I can't think about it. Okay.
Shoot. All right. Best place you've ever traveled in the world?
South Africa. Mm. Yes, the parks.
Uh-huh. Okay. Favorite designer?
I don't have one. Remember, growing up, you know, in Bolivia, you don't have designer brands, so that was not embedded in my head. And when I was able to, I just said, "Why? It's, you know, I like color."
Favorite color?
Oh, they're purple, of course.
Okay. Yes. All right. Favorite beach?
One that has no pebbles. I like white sandy beaches. Don't, uh-huh. I don't know a name. Hawaii.
Go-to cuisine.
Any Italian?
Okay.
I love pasta. I just don't eat it that much, but yeah, Italian.
Uh-huh. And your favorite pastime?
My guilty pleasure. Pastime, my art. Spending time with my kids when they behave and they listen. Uh-huh. And I think my guilty pleasure would be sleep. I'm a big sleeper. Oh yeah, that's my guilty pleasure. Don't give me chocolate. Give me my sleep. Give me 12 hours of sleep. I'll take it.
I love
true.
That.
But it's true.
All right. And one last question. I'm trying to think. I'm trying to stump you here because like a couple things I think I know. Okay. So when you think of the favorite song that inspires you. Latin, English?
No. Song? No, that's oof. Because Latin, I live here. It's very, very difficult. I can't. I don't have like
movie.
The Sound of Music. There were a lot of kids. He was, Austrian military general. I think it was a colonel. So I identify with the movie.
These answers always surprise me.
The Sound of Music, and the lyrics are nice, and it's a musical.
Surprise me. Yeah. Is there anything about your story that you'd like to share with us? That something that maybe I didn't ask you, and you'd like to tell us now?
I think about we were talking about empowering women, and I think this the spotlight with Emily Subi is about empowering women, women who get to know a little bit about other women. Some of us, we know each other, but even through the lens, I honestly believe that everybody has a potential, everybody has dreams. It's just that sometimes we don't believe we can do it. So we are our own, we sabotage ourselves. I don't have the time. What's my family gonna say? Whatever it is, we always put excuses. So you can have excuses, you can have results. Worst thing that can happen, that's one of my sayings is no. No, somebody's going to tell you no, or life is going to tell you no, it's not going to happen. But then you tweak, you change, and you move on. But for example, now we're talking about spotlights and women who rock. One of my dreams, I was going to say when I was younger, was to learn to play the electric guitar. Why am I going to say I had? No. It's I have a dream to play the electric guitar. I have a little bit of time. I have the means. Why not? So why am I gonna, put myself in the position of, oh, I used to dream about doing this. No, I'm probably gonna try doing it in the 6 months when COVID is over and I can have my teacher in front of me teaching me the electric guitar. And same thing happened with scuba diving. Until last year, I would say, oh, I would love to scuba someday. Why not? All the family had the time during COVID. We got a private instructor. Thank God we could afford it. And we got our PADI certifications. That's so the funny. Question is, why should you do it? Or why not? So unless you try, just go for it. Don't be afraid. You know, if you fail, you fail. You shake it up and you move on. You know, so yes, maybe next year I'll show you my electric guitar.
A purple one. So we all talk about inspirational moments and the moments sometimes that are the strongest or hardest in life, that in the setbacks that bring our comebacks. What would be one of those moments for you that, you know, a moment that, you know, really...
The wow moment?
Was challenging, but probably, you know...
You came back. Okay. Not many people know, but my dad was extradited with charges of drug dealing because he was the director of the DEA and similar in Bolivia, the FELC, which is a DEA. And, you know, Bolivian, South American governments are not always just, and they have a lot of interest. So it was a setup. I was probably 19 years old, 20. It was a setup because I know my dad, I know my family, I know where the money comes from. And he was charged and he was extradited, even though there was no treaty. There was no extradition treaty with the U.S. But it was, you know, government paid the judges, and I'm going to say it freely because it's not a secret. And the proof is that he got extradited. We had to sell pretty much everything to afford an attorney in the U.S. But after a year and a half, he was back in Bolivia. The United States couldn't find enough charges to not even go to trial. So I'm sorry, you can go back home. You understand? But at that moment, imagine small societies, you lose your head of the family, which, you know, wow. He was the head of the family.
I never knew this.
Yeah, no, not a lot of people.
Thank you for sharing.
Because you're asking me something, you know, What's a comeback moment? That, because you either can walk down the street with your face down and say, oh my God, I didn't do it, and be ashamed. But in my heart, I knew the truth. So I would just go up and like, what? Yeah, he got charged. Bullshit. It's a lie. It just doesn't cut it. But and people who, you know, we have people choose to believe what they want to believe. People sometimes who you think are your friends are not your friends, and they stay away. And other people who sometimes they will come up and say, that's not true. He's gonna come back. There's nothing. And sure enough, he went back to Bolivia. Obviously, the aftermath was horrible. You know, I mean, little money and getting back to, but I don't go to church every Sunday now as an adult, but I think I'm a woman of faith. And I pray and I believe that there is a greater entity. You can call it, you know, whatever religion it is. That was one comeback moment.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Okay, that's my song. That what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Well. And the other one was I married the first time very young. I was 20, going on 21, with a politician maybe 15 years older than me. And I did not know all the, you know, you're supposed to know the good, the bad, and the ugly, but I didn't know the bad or the ugly, just the good. And that's why I tell my kids, you need to live with your partner when you're thinking about marriage. You, first you live and then you, because that's the only way you know a person. And he was very, very aggressive and violent. And eventually, see, again, I have a dream, but it's still a dream. It's not that I didn't do it. I would like to work in Bolivia for women's rights and against violence. Because even though I came from a good family, good education, you know, sometimes you say, oh, only lower income families or social. No, that's not true. It happens in all. And I tell you this because I'm over it. But when it happened, I could not believe it. It crushed me how this person that I married, that I loved, would do something like that. You know, totally different from what I have right now. It's a blessing, see? But you have to go through that. Yes, he is. He's a sweetheart. God bless his soul. He's just a sweetheart. But that was horrible. And if there's a woman that went through this, you know, don't get bitter, don't get angry, but try to just do something. And the way I deal with it, or I dealt with it in the past, it's over, is being able to talk to people like you, and in this case, using the, you know, the cameras, to say, this happened, but it can happen to anybody. It can happen to anybody. And those moms, because sometimes the parents are the ones who don't want to see it, who choose not to see it, and say, oh, it's okay, it's gonna, I know some of them, they were like, oh no, it's okay, it's gonna pass, he was, you know, tipsy. No, there's nothing that can excuse it. And it was a repetitive pattern, which I didn't know, so that lasted 3 years, and then I came back.
Thank you so much. I mean, thank you for sharing that and for You know, it takes a lot of courage to share the past and the pain. And I thank you for doing that. And that's a great message to anyone who's out there listening who might need to hear that. So I want to end on your advice or your inspirational thought, maybe something you would have told your younger self, maybe something that you tell your daughter that empowers, you know, the younger generation. What would that thought be?
Faith, my girlfriends, faith. You got to believe in something, because if you don't, you're not going to believe that everything is going to be okay. And that's why you have drugs, and that's why you have, you know, suicides. You got to talk about this. And I make an effort of saying everything is going to be all right. Everybody has problems. Everybody. The person says, oh, I'm a happy camper. Not a problem. I have money.
It's okay. Everybody's life is perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. No, 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 no. That's a lie. That's a lie, and it's not true. So I would say faith, because if you don't believe in something, then you say, oh, my life is over. I'm never going to get over this. And my boyfriend left me, or I got fired. So what? You come back, and you come back, and it's better, because now you have the experience, because you know once you survive, nothing's going to hurt you anymore, right? So, but that comes from an inner force, and that's faith. That's not personality. That's faith. That's believing in something, and that your day is going to be better tomorrow and in 2 days, you know, because my daughter is going, you know, the age of 14 years old is, oh, my crush, and then my crush, you know, blocked me on Instagram or her friends, you know, and like, okay, so what? Move on. Get another friend. Everything is going to be okay, and that's the truth. But you need to move it. You need to believe it, you know?
You have to do your part.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. That's great.
I love you.
I love you too.
Thank
you. You have filled my soul. And I want to thank you so much for being on Spotlight. You have kept it real and authentic and really have shared from the heart. And I'm so grateful. That's really what makes Spotlight so special.
Thank you, my friend. I really appreciate being in Spotlight and the opportunity to share my story.
So I want to thank all of you for tuning in to Spotlight with Emily Zuby, and hope we will see you on the next episode. Want to thank our sponsors, Doral Lincoln. Very grateful to Doral Lincoln. They've been our sponsor for years. And also Joni Menes at One Sotheby's Real Estate and Dr. Marty Zayak. So you've been listening to Spotlight with Emily Zuby. We'll catch you on the next episode. Thank you and ciao for now.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Spotlight with Emily Zuby Show. Please join our rockstar community by subscribing to our YouTube channel or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And while you're there, be sure to leave a rating and review. We really appreciate that effort. Signing off for now from the Miami Women Who Rock Studios. We'll catch you in the next episode.